Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. When was the last time you read a poem? For many, the answer is when I was a child or when I was a brooding teenager. For those in the audience who answered thusly, you likely have our next guest to thank for anthologizing many of those poems, if not him, others like him, who love poetry so much they want to keep it accessible for children. Lee Bennett Hopkins is with us in the studio today. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
We are talking with the man who wrote Alpha Thoughts, Full Moon and Star, City I Love, and several other books of poetry for children. You can become part of the conversation, too, by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Well, you just learned that you're going to be inducted into the Florida Artists Hall of Fame. Congratulations. Was this a surprise?
Yes, thank you. It's always a surprise to win a prestigious award.
You found out a couple weeks ago?
Yes, you're nominated for the Florida Hall of Fame. And you really don't know you're going to get it until the final decision is made. So I received a letter from the Secretary of State telling me about the award, which I think is fascinating. It was established in 1986, and it is the highest and most prestigious cultural honor bestowed by the state of Florida. So it's quite an honor to be on this list.
I think Tennessee Williams is on this list.
Oh, and that's Hemingway. One of my mentors.
I know, and there you are joining him.
Tennessee Williams, Ernest Hemingway, Marjorie Kinnens Rowling, who wrote The Yearling.
I know.
And of course, there are some pop stars, Jimmy Buffett and Gloria Estefan.
Yes. And then even our Robert Rauschenberg from out in Sanibel.
So yeah, I'm in good company.
And I'm in the same room with you now. tell me a little bit about your career. You're a writer and anthologist of children's poetry. So what got you started in that?
I began my career as an elementary school teacher in New Jersey. I taught sixth grade for 3 years, and then for 3 years worked from K to six. And I found that poetry works with children, and many who are non-readers can take to poetry quite readily. I think the reason poems are often short, vocabulary is very simple, and I really believe that more can be felt and heard through six or eight lines than sometimes an entire novel can convey.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that maybe kind of it was hooked, like the, you know, the phonics that we hear about for helping kids learn? Do you think poems kind of work in that regard?
Yeah, they work. They work very well. You know, we just have to bring more poetry into the lives of children. And I maintain that we have to start in preschool with Mother Goose rhymes and keep the tradition of literature and language going in our youth.
You know, I pulled out my old Mother Goose book with my daughter, and she's six. There's some kind of rough poems in there.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they're not really all happy sunshine. Some of them are kind of sad. I think that's been updated. Have we updated poetry?
No, they have not updated. Well, poetry may have, but Mother Goose
is still the same. She was tough.
Yeah, you've got a lot of, you know, the old woman who lived in a shoe.
I know. There were some tough times.
And that poor little Miss Muffet.
Oh, I feel bad for her every time. I wanted to have you read a poem that you wrote in 1985 for the National Children's Book Week. First, tell us about the poem. Where was it seen and how many kids saw it?
Yes, it was in 1985. The Children's Book Council, which is housed in New York, they have an annual they sponsor National Children's Book Week. And each year they asked a poet to write a poem for Book Week. My goodness, this was 32 years ago that I wrote this poem. Mm-hmm. And it still appears in collections. It's on posters. It's a very popular poem. The theme that year was good books, good times. And they printed on a bookmark that was distributed to close to 1 million children throughout the United States. Interestingly enough, there was a piece of art on the bookmark by Mark Brown, who was relatively unknown, who now is the author of the famous Arthur series, which, of course, is on PBS TV. So I wrote the poem, Good Books, Good Times, and I really had the philosophy that it sums up my love for books, reading, my love for children, and my love for poetry. Good books, good times. Good books, good times. Good stories, good rhymes. Good beginnings, good end. Good people, good friends. Good fiction, good facts. Good adventures, good acts. Good stories, good rhymes. Good books, good times.
Now I want to read a book. I just want to curl up in a big. Doesn't it make you, kind of inspire you to want to read?
I hope so.
Do you think the rhymes really help kids, though?
Yes.
It helps them kind of find their way through and.
I think cognitively and orally and aurally, it's important. I'm an advocate of reading poetry, of reading poetry and literature to children in the womb. And I've seen it over and over. Children who are exposed to literature and language are readers and writers in the future and have a much brighter future than children who are deprived of literature.
So how is children's literature different from the rest and poetry for children different from what other genres of poetry are? I mean, would people be surprised what kids are capable of comprehending from the written word?
I'm never surprised at what children can comprehend. Children, you know, are very open to things. And I think they should be exposed to great humor. The wonderful life verse of Shel Silverstein, who was a genius. I think they should hear light verse of Lewis Carroll, Edward Lear. But they also should be introduced to contemporary works. And it is a different era. Like any other genre, there are topics posed in children's poetry that have never been touched on before. They include many, many social issues, many up-to-date societal things. Many years ago, I had written my own book of poetry called Ben to Yesterdays, which is in print and paperback now. It is a widely used book in programs dealing with Al-Anon programs, youth programs.
Al-Anon being?
Alcoholics Anonymous.
So kids that are affected by alcoholism and
yes.
their family?
My background was growing up in a tough project in Newark, New Jersey, with a working class mother. My father departed, and there was a great struggle to raise three children. And in Ben to Yesterdays, I paint a picture of my life between the ages of 12 and 13 when the family fell apart. Although set in the 1950s, this book is used all over now because we've always faced them, but we're facing such societal problems in our culture.
Well, even the ages of 12 to 13 are tough, even if you're in an
yes.
ideal setting.
Yes.
That's that coming of age time when it's pretty tough. Do you have a piece of that that you can read? Well, you call it kind of an autobiography in a book, right?
It's called Poems of a Life. It really is an autobiography. And again, it deals with a perfect family, mother, father, three children, a dog and a picket fence, and how it all fell apart when my parents split up.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with emotions that I had gone through as a child. And again, what many children are going through today. For example, I penned a poem about my father and my feelings about him leaving. It's called We.
And this is from the age frame, the yes. frame of reference of 12
yeah.
to 13 years old.
Ben to Yesterdays.
Can we hear it?
We played baseball every spring. He taught me every single thing I had to know, how to bat, to bunt, to throw. But since he went away that day, the game will never be the same. The bleachers, the bases, the catcher's mitt seem empty, barren now, like me. Deserted, lonely, a strike three out. And I realize what losing is all about.
Well, now I'm crying. That is so heart-wrenching, you know? I mean, when you think about a kid feeling that.
Well, it's also very difficult to write that in rhyme.
Yeah.
The book is not all down. Miraculously, when I was in eighth grade, I had a teacher who turned my entire life around. She saw something in me, nurtured me, and without her, I would never have succeeded in life. I know that. So I penned a poem kind of in tribute to my eighth grade teacher. Here it is. "What do you want to be when you grow up?" asked my teacher, Miss Ethel K. Tway. Down the rows, the kids called out, "A cop, a nurse, a soldier, a sailor, a scientist, butcher, firefighter." When she got to me, I said, "A writer." Well, Louie laughed hysterically. "A writer," he said. "What a crazy thing to want to be." "I don't think that's funny, Louis," said Miss Tway. "Everyone's entitled to sound their own voice. Becoming a writer is a fine life choice." Well, that special moment on that red letter day, I fell madly in love with Miss Ethel K. Tway.
That is great. That is so fun to hear.
So, again, the book progresses. It deals with my mother's alcoholism, the death of a beloved grandmother. But it ends on a high note. It ends, "I became a writer."
And then you were inducted into the Artists Hall of Fame of the state of Florida. So the suffering pays off in the end. We are talking with writer and children's poetry anthologist Lee Bennett Hopkins. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call and tell us your experience at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Well, not only do you write poetry, but as an anthologist, it seems like you're almost a walking library of all things written for children in poetry. I mean, it's true. And it had to come in handy when you were putting together a book like Voyages, the poems of Walt Whitman. I just think it was really interesting that you selected pieces as a way to introduce a giant like Whitman to children with excerpts and poems that paint a biography of the man. So how did you come to the idea to do that?
I took his Leaves of Grass and went through the entire volume. It took me at least 4 years to do the book. And decided to do it as a biography from the time he was a young man through to his deathbed. So it was quite an exciting journey to do that. I've also done collections on Langston Hughes and Carl Sandburg. So I've done some major collections on famous poets.
And these collections kind of give a snapshot to young people.
It's rather a large – these are large books.
Well, they're big books, but I mean it kind of tells it.
Yeah, it kind of puts them in a setting. Few children are going to pick up Leaves of Grass. It's a very difficult book.
Yes, I tried to pick that up in my 30s, and I got to be honest. I walked away after a while. It's long.
But by – yes.
And
by
it's deep.
By excerpting it and putting it into a historical, chronological view of his life, it does bring a new voice to children, young adults.
I found it also interesting in the book Days to Celebrate. So you went through the calendar and you were able to chronicle some poems and then also talk about important days and figures in history that come up on different days of the month. And it's a whole calendar year. How did you come up with that idea?
Days to Celebrate was an enormous project because it has facts and figures for 366 days of the year. So what I did was by month, for example, this month, there are poems about New Year's. There's a poem to celebrate the birth date of Martin Luther King Jr. There are poems about weather, and it progresses through each month, giving children an opportunity to correlate dates with poetry.
But it's not just poems. You also had a little bit about, you know,
yes.
Benjamin Franklin was
right.
And telling a little bit about his.
Yes.
I mean, it's not only like a paragraph and a half, but it's yes. enough to get a snapshot.
Right. It's enough to lead children, I hope, into reading more their biography, more about them. So they're teasers.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting a little taste and then deciding what you have a flavor for and then expanding it on your
yeah.
own. That's really interesting.
And I have done now close to 120 anthologies, which got me into the Guinness World Records.
Yes, I know. The Guinness Book of World Records. How did that happen? They just found out? They just
again,
they
you,
just randomly said, oh, well, I wonder who the poet who has done the most anthologies is.
Again, you don't know. It's what's so exciting about my career. It was done by a professor at Texas Women's University, a librarian, and her 13-year-old son, who set out to do a record of all my work. It took them years. And lo and behold, one day you get a letter from London stating you're being put into the Guinness Book of Records.
And, I can't imagine looking at that.
Well, it's shocking. And then they send you the official certificate.
These people randomly just started to, you know, catalog your work.
Yeah.
And they thought, wow, this is really a lot. We should send this to the Guinness Book of
yeah.
World Records.
But it was through these two women and the librarian's son that they took this on. It was a very great honor.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about the book Mary's Song.
Mary's Song is a book that I wrote. It's my own work, which was published about 2 years ago. It's about the Virgin Mary and the birth of Christ. There have been thousands of books about the Nativity. I had the idea that at some point in every woman's life, when they're giving birth and grandmas are coming in kissy-kissy and bringing in balloons and whoopee-whoopee and nurses are flowing in the room, that the mother would just love to be alone with her baby. So the whole idea is, leave me alone. Leave the shepherds out.
Yeah, I can imagine. There was a lot of fanfare.
Especially when you're in a little barn with hay.
If you imagine her actual situation, can you tell the visitors to just wait, please?
Just go. You know, like, get those wise men. We got the gifts, leave.
If they were really wise, they'd give me a moment.
But it really is a very serious book.
Yeah.
That deals with the love of her baby. And, again, how she wants to bond with the child. She doesn't know at that point that he was going to be the Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It got to be pretty confusing what the people are all doing there. you have established awards to give to other poets. There's the Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award and the Promising Poet Award. There are two of them. Are these to encourage more people to get involved? Are you wanting to get more people involved in producing?
Yes. 25 years ago, I established the Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award. It's administered by Penn State University in Pennsylvania. And it's an annual award given to a book of poetry to a poet. So it's given to an award of any book that was published in the preceding year. Again, this year is the 25th year of the award. It was the only one of its kind established in America for poetry for children.
You are a tireless proponent of getting children not only to read but to love reading, which is a key differentiation. And on your website, you have a section which is kind of like a blog, but you call it the journal section. And there's a suggestion that you gave on that, I think last year, and I wanted to pass it along because I liked it so much. You wrote, "In classrooms across America, children celebrate their birthday, and a common practice is for parents to provide cupcakes for this event." Well, instead of a cupcake, why not encourage all parents to donate a book to the class or school library, something that will last? Imagine a school is filled with, for example, 200 children all having a birthday and receiving 200 books per year. This is more than any school library budget could afford. A note appended to each parent from each parent could read, "From the parents of blank, insert child's name," a legacy that will be passed on from year to year. I wanted to share that because it's probably one of the best ideas I've heard in a very long time.
It's a wonderful idea, and it's been adopted in places all over America. And I constantly get letters thanking me for that statement. and how libraries have been built and how school libraries have been built. There are no budgets for books. Right here in Lee County, the budgets are very, very minuscule. And again, you know, I'm not against cupcakes, but a book is lasting.
Well, there are problems sometimes with cupcakes because
yes.
there are peanut allergies in
yes.
schools, and those are pretty serious. And a lot of, you know,
but again,
food allergies and intolerances. That
a
could...
book is everlasting.
Yes, and you cannot be allergic really to it,
yes.
I don't think. Or maybe there is, I don't know. But your focus is inspiring kids to love the book and not just the mechanics of how
right.
to read them.
Right.
Do you have another little piece that you would like to read for us?
From another book of mine called Good Rhymes, Good Times. It's a collection of poems that I had done over many years. And it's a fun poem that I love to read with children. Again, it's serious, but I think they can handle that. It's about my dog, who I adopted as a puppy and loved him to death. And one night, of course, he had to go to the vet. So I wrote, Overnight at the Vet's. I found a strand of his snow-white hair strewn upon his favorite chair. I wonder how he's feeling there alone. I wonder if he wants his bone. I wonder if he'll catch a flea. I wonder if he misses me.
That is so relatable. Every time you have to leave your dog for just overnight, you just wonder about the emotional turmoil he's going through. And it's usually probably just you.
No, it's true. You know, and again, poetry is emotion. And these are emotions, you know, that I express again for children. So it's a lot of fun to write poetry.
I have to say, it's been really great getting to learn more about you and meet you. And I wanted to say, again, congratulations for being inducted into the Florida Artists Hall of Fame. We have links to your website on our website, which is news.wgcu.org. So I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us today.
My pleasure.
It's been so much fun. And where can we get books? I saw them on Amazon. Are they available physically in a lot of local stores?
Yes, they are, and so many books today are bought from internet. My website will lead you to not only Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but independent booksellers, which I think is they're very important to support.
All right, great. Well, thanks for coming in today. That's all the time we have for our show.
My pleasure.
Unfortunately, I'd love to hear you just read all of these books. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chinqui with technical help from A.J. Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.